Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and chavruta Yerdana Azband. Our daf of the day, Masechet Bav Metzia, daf Nun Aleph, page 51. I'm going to start with a Mishnah halfway through Amud Aleph. I would say, Achad Alokeach v'Achad Hamocher Yesh Lahen Ona'a. When we talk about this question of taking advantage one of the other, right? Ona'a, exploitation. We say that both the buyer and the seller are relevant, I guess, to the topic or the issue of ona'a, meaning either of them can be subject to it. Kishem she'ona'a lehedyot kach ona'a letagar. The Mishnah says that just as there are halachot that pertain to the hedyot, just a regular person, so too there's ona'a when it comes to the merchant. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ein ona'a letagar. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's no exploitation for a merchant, meaning he's the merchant. He knows what the market value is. He knows what it's worth. So the idea that he could be taken advantage of in that way, according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, he says, no, he can't. There's no way to take advantage of him in that way. Mishu tal alav yado al ha'elyona. And the person who has been exploited, right, that is the person who has his hand on the upper and on the upper part, right? Again, he has the upper hand. Why? Ratza omer lo ten li ma otai. O ten li ma she initani. Right? Meaning that person, the person who has been taken advantage of, can say to the other person, give me back my money, cancel the transaction, or for that matter, give me that extra, right, that you've been exploiting, that you took from me that you shouldn't have taken from me. I find this issue from Rabbi Yehuda to be really very interesting because I think that, you know, what does it mean? And we can explore this much longer than we're actually going to. What does it mean to say that a merchant knows the marketplace sufficiently to not be taken advantage of? I feel like anybody can be taken advantage of by the smoother talker, right? Somebody can be taken advantage of because somebody put one over on them. Like, how hard is the person doing the ona'a working to deceive the person who should be in the know? And then by the same token, you have customers who are very savvy, but, you know, in front of the wrong person, rather, the wrong merchant, they also could be taken advantage of, or for that matter, not, right? So I think the claim here that there is a distinction between the hedyot, the regular person, versus the merchant in this field of expertise, I think that it is a really interesting machloket, interesting dispute to begin with. We're gonna jump now in the Gemara for a little further onto Amanav, just to see where the Gemara delves into this a bit. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein ona ala tagar. That's the citation from the Mishnah, of course. Mishum shu tagar ein lo ona a. So the Gemara says, wait, are you sure? Meaning just because he's a merchant, he's not subject to these halachot. That anybody, like, the point being, anybody can be. Can make, well, first of all, anybody can make a mistake. I'm not sure that we would say that exploitation is making a mistake, but anybody can end up with a mistaken value of the merchandise to the extent that they are then taking advantage of the next person over. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Rav. So Rav Nachman says, Rav says, Batagar Safsar Shanu. So Rav's explanation of Rabbi Yehuda is not that we're talking about just every merchant out there, but specifically a trader, the kind trader, T-R-A-D-E-R, not trader like, you know, someone who, never mind, right? But the point is that somebody who's buying and selling the merchandise, and that's the person who's supposed to really be an expert in all kinds of merchandise to be able to assess what's a good buy and what's not. My tama, medaya da'uv zinte kama shavya. Meaning, why isn't this person, this trader, why isn't he going to be subject to these same halachot, according to Rabbi Yehuda? And the answer is because he really does know how much the merchandise is worth. And so then this kind of discrepancy between what someone's going to sell it for and what it's actually valued at, that's where he's going to, like, kind of, you know, already be past that level of discrepancy. So he knows how much the merchandise is worth. He's waiving that sum, right? Like, whatever that discrepancy is. And then when he sells that merchandise in that same way, he knows that he's selling it even for less than its value, right? Meaning he's he's doing good business or maybe shady business, depending on exactly the terms. But the idea that he has merchandise available to him, he can take advantage of the fact that he can sell it. He doesn't have to necessarily mark it up in a surprising, you know, in too big of a gap kind of way. But at the end of the day, we're talking about somebody who is already so knowledgeable about the field of just buying and selling goods and their costs that the idea of a discrepancy where he's going to be taken advantage of by it, right, where he wouldn't know that, is kind of impossible. I don't think that's the same thing as just a merchant in the shuk, in the marketplace, who's got his little stand, and now somebody comes in to sell to him, right? And then the Gemara says, "Vahashta miha kam hazerbe." But then, in any case, won't that person, the guy who knows all of this, won't he walk it back? Meaning, so then he's not really waiving the discrepancy, the amount of difference there. Rav Ashi Amar, "My ein latagar ona'a, eino b'torat ona'a." So Rav Ashi has a different explanation. He says, "What does it mean that there's no exploitation when it comes to a merchant?" He says he's not subject to the whole concept or all of the details, principles of exploitation. Why? Shafilu pachot mikidei ona'a chozer. Because even if you've got less than that measure of exploitation, meaning the 1/6 that we've discussed previously, he can renege. He can renege on his transaction without it having to be an issue of exploitation. He's allowed to walk it back based on, it doesn't even say why, right? Meaning, but he can renege without having to claim ona'a. Tanya kavateder of Nachman, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tagar ilo ana'a, mipnei shehu baki. So, and then the Gemara brings it all back to the same reason that Rav Nachman had said about this trader, right? Namely, we're talking about somebody who is in fact an expert, meaning he's such an expert that he can't be exploited because he already knows like the world of buying and selling to the degree that he won't be taken advantage of. Which does seem to be a different reason than Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi isn't really debunked. It's just that the Gemara kind of picks up on this view of Rav Nachman and closes with it. It closes this little section with it. So that's where we end.
Okay, so from here, basically, Rav, we're going to be introduced to an interesting machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, which is a question of whether or not you can make a stipulation to exempt oneself from the law of price fraud. Right, Itmar, it was said, Ha'omer l'chaviro amanat she'ein l'cha alai ona'a. So if somebody says to someone before selling them an object, right, this sale is on the condition that you don't have a claim of price fraud against me. Rav ona'a. Rav says the buyer still can claim price fraud. U'shmuel amar ein lo alav ona'a. But Shmuel says, nope, the buyer cannot. In other words, that is a stipulation that the seller is allowed to make. Now, I thought this was interesting, and comparing it to, you know, what we're saying before, that there is a certain type of merchant who also is not subject to the laws of ona'a. And here we're saying, like, you know, a seller, we're entertaining the idea that a seller could say, I'll sell it to you, but you're not allowed. You know, it's kind of like certain contracts that you make where you're basically, you know, have to write off that you can't sue somebody if something bad happens, right? You know, but here it's saying that you're going to say you won't claim that they did price fraud. So the Gemara first starts by trying to say that maybe this is actually this machlok is between Rav and Shmuel, is parallel to a machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Lema Rav to Amar Kan Rabbi Meir. Should we say that Rav is saying like Rabbi Meir? Ushmuel to Amar Kan Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda to Tanya. We learned in a brisa. Ha'omer Liyishav, somebody says to a woman, and I remember this, learning this brisa in Kedushin, Hare at Mekudeshet Li, you are betrothed to me, almanat she'ein lecha alai, on the condition that you've no claim to me, shar ksut ve'ona, right? You can't, the three things that a husband is obligated to give his wife, right? Which is food, clothing, and sexual relations, right? That he says, okay, I'll betroth you, but you can't claim these three things. Harezo mikudeshet utna'o batel, right? She is betrothed, but his stipulation is void because he can't go against the Torah. Dibrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, B'davar shebimamon tana'o kayim. Regarding a monetary manner, such as the obligation to provide food and clothing, his stipulation actually stands. So the Gemara basically wants to say that this machloka between Rav and Shmuel, right, by bringing this brisa, is, you know, actually parallel to this machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rav taking the Rabbi Yehuda approach, right, that the Tanai can't stand, and Rabbi Yehuda saying, like Shmuel, that it can. But the Gemara is actually going to say, no, this is a totally independent machlokas. Amr lach Rav, Rav would say to you, Ana da Amri afil la Rabbi Yehuda. What I said is even valid according to Rabbi Yehuda. Ad kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda hatam ela diyada v'kam machla. For Rabbi Yehuda said his position there, right, that this stipulation that's contrary to the Torah is effective only because she knew and she forgave it, right? She agreed to this stipulation, right? But in this case of fraud, did the buyer know that he's being defrauded so that he would waive his claim? Amar and Shmuel would say, Ana damri afil of Rabbi Meir. What I said, right, that the stipulation that there be no claim of price fraud is valid, even according to Rabbi Meir. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Meir hatam ela divadaika akar. Right, because Rabbi Meir said his position there, right, when the stipulation is contrary to what's written in the Torah. So that's why it has to be void. But here, right, the stipulator uproots, you know, but only because it's what uprooted in the Torah. Aval halcha, but here, mi'e marzika akar mide. It doesn't uproot anything, right? Like, he's just making a stipulation about onah, but it's not uprooting a commandment in the Torah itself. So it's interesting to see, you know, sort of they want to try to make a parallel to this Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda Brisa, which we have learned before. They basically come out and say, no, they can actually say it's its own independent machloket. The Gemara from here is going to go through, clarify Shmuel's position a little bit and explain that it really has to do with the wording, right? That there are two different ways that you could word this where you say you have no claim against me versus there was no price fraud. And depending on how you worded, you may or may not actually be able to claim ona'a against that person. So it's interesting to see. And then it's going to, you know, again, try to compare to Rabbi Yehuda as opposed to Rabbi Meir. But it's, you know, I think this whole machlok, the scenario of Rav and Shmuel is actually very interesting, right? Just the idea, can the seller somehow claim that price fraud is a claim that you can't make against him in order to make the sale valid? I would think most of us would say that doesn't really make sense why you should be allowed to, which is basically Rav's opinion. And even Shmuel's, you know, they come and they clarify it and say it's really only one specific case where you would maybe be allowed, the seller maybe would be allowed to claim that.
I think it gets really complicated, meaning when do you want to, let me take a step back. I'm curious how this would play out in reality, right? Where this machloket would, like, how do they function? Or was it a theoretical discussion? But it seems to me that if you're going to come in the marketplace, like, then you have to know what to do or what, when you can make your claim. I don't know. I feel like it's not straightforward enough to just kind of like live it. Although maybe I'm wrong about that.
Yeah. And look, I think these things are interesting because, like, what we're sort of seeing on this particular, like, we have this concept of price fraud, but we can't allow it to be so big because then, like, every deal could basically always be undone in a way, right? But on the other hand, we need to keep the integrity of it because it is important to have that as a concept in the marketplace.
That's our DAF discussion for the day. Thank you for joining us. Rank Us Review is where you get your podcast. Come talk to us on our Facebook page and tell us what you think of this DAF. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. And until tomorrow, go and learn.